May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. It was a warm Sunday morning in London on June 10th, 1883, when Charles Spurgeon climbed to his pulpit in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He was a noted Baptist preacher, and he attracted thousands of middle and upper class Londoners to his massive church. He has been called the Prince of Preachers. His text for his sermon was the same quotation from Ephesians 5 that I have chosen. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. In the 19th century in London, the second Sunday in June had come to be kept as Hospital Sunday. The city's hospitals had mostly been founded by religious orders or wealthy aristocrats or royalty, but their gifts had gone for construction and not for operation. With the explosive growth of the city, the hospitals were needed more than ever. But there were empty beds in the hospitals because of staff shortages. Hospital Sunday was a way of raising funds for hospital operations. The churches had all agreed that their collections on the second Sunday in June would be dedicated to support the city's hospitals. Spurgeon jumped right into his appeal. Here, while your minds are fresh, let me remind you that this is Hospital Sunday. And let me add that my text is an argument and a powerful one for helping those houses of mercy. Your Lord would have you be kind to one another and tender-hearted. But how can we be kind and tender-hearted if the sick poor are not cared for? It is a crying shame that beds in hospitals should be unused because of lack of funds. Several of those grand institutions are running into debt. When the box comes round, be you imitators of God as dear children, in the largeness of your liberality and the freeness of your gifts. Spurgeon went on to say that this was not his normal way of doing things, to make an appeal for action before he had laid out his theological argument. Preachers generally put the application at the end of the discourse. But on such a warm day as this, you are apt to grow sleepy. And therefore, I put the application at the beginning, that you may not give faintly and scantily when the sermon is over. Clearly, Spurgeon knew from experience the look of glazed eyes in his congregation. And no wonder, this particular sermon is typical in length, and it is almost 5,000 words. I think he was wise to put the appeal at the beginning, no matter how warm a day it was. I'll spare you the 5,000 words, but I do want to share the thrust of Spurgeon's sermon. And it is that the Christian's call is to practical duty. Meditating on God has its place. Admiring God has its place. Adoring God has its place. But above all, we are called to imitate God. Imitate his forgiveness by forgiving others. Imitate his mercy by showing kindness to all. Imitate his patience by being patient. Imitate his sacrifice by sacrificing. Imitate his generosity by being generous. We have been made in the image of God. That means that we have the potential to imitate all the traits of God's character. It is in our DNA. It won't save us. We are saved by grace, not by works. But we are called to live into the fullness of our creation. And we do that by imitating the one who made us. I watched a reality video on Facebook yesterday that amused me. It was three modern teenagers, one boy and two girls. They were trying to work out how to use a rotary phone. The phone was on the edge of a table and it was yellow ochre, so I imagine it had been manufactured in the 1970s. They examined it for a while, took a careful look at it. They noted the rotary dial. They saw that by the number zero, operator was written. They had no idea what was meant by operator. They concluded that it was a programming option. So they decided not to go there. The boy was trying to show off, and he proudly offered the information that back then, if you wanted to dial a long distance number, you had to dial a one first. The girls were impressed, and so they invited him to go first and try and call his mom. He picked up the receiver, listened for the dial tone, put the receiver back down, and started dialing the numbers. There, he said, if I've done it right, my mum should answer. He picked the receiver back up and only heard the dial tone again, not his mom's voice. He was frustrated and he threw it down on the table. The girls laughed at him. Then one of them jumped up and down, announcing proudly, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. So the boy and the other girl allowed her to try. She did not pick up the receiver. Instead, she dialed her home number. And when she had finished, she simply started talking to the phone. Hello, hello, hello. There was not a sound from the phone. The problem was, they had never seen anybody use a rotary phone. All of us saw people use rotary phones. We watched from our earliest days as our parents picked up the phone and held the receiver as they dialed. And that visual of how you make a call imprinted itself on our minds, and we imitated how our parents had made a call. We might even have been given a toy rotary phone, and we would do with it just what mommy and daddy did with theirs. Pick up the receiver, dial the number. And if we were lucky, as we turned the rotor on our toy phone, it would make a ringing sound. From about 14 months on, imitation is the primary way in which children learn. I read an article in Parents Magazine in which a mother described her 14-month son imitating his father as he came back from a jog. The father would be panting. He put his hands on his hips and stretch from side to side and then lean forward to stretch his back. A son would mimic his daddy. When daddy came in, he would pant. He would put his hands on his hips, lean from side to side, and then bend forward. And all the while, he would be watching mommy and daddy for their approval. What he wanted to hear was, "What a big boy. You are just like daddy." I just used the word mimic. That was the Greek word that St. Paul used in Ephesians, mimetai. He is saying we need to mimic God. Unfortunately, these days, once children get a little bit older, mimicking, imitating as a way of learning, has been discredited. Instead, we stress the importance of originality and look scornfully on copying. Certainly the case in how children are taught to write. Imitation is downplayed, while creativity, originality, and spontaneity are put on a pedestal. It's also the case in modern art education. When Leonardo da Vinci was only 14, his father had seen some talent in him, so he apprenticed him to Verrocchio as a studio boy. Verrocchio had other pupils, and he ran his studio in the fashion of all the other old masters. People came to learn the artist's craft by copying. Imitating how a master went about his work was how you learned and grew. With the help of his grace, and that needs to be said, imitating the character of God is how we learn and grow spiritually. Let me close with a quotation from an essay by C.S. Lewis. It's an essay that he called Christianity and Literature, and it is in a collection of essays called Christian Reflections. Lewis wrote this: "Only God, maybe only God the Father, is truly original. All else is derivative and reflective. Saints are not moral or spiritual geniuses. They are imitators. Our whole destiny seems to lie in being as little as possible ourselves, but in acquiring a fragrance that is not our own, but borrowed, and in becoming clear mirrors filled with the image of a face that is not ours. So there we have it. Be ye imitators of God as dear children. Acquire a fragrance that is not your own. Be clear mirrors of a face that is not your own. Amen.